Kitty and Susie have just arrived home, so there might be some noises off, but there you go. That's life under lockdown. If you got the weekly note, you would know that this Sunday we're doing a week where we do our kind of I wonder, I notice thing, but in a slightly different way. The inspiration for today, as I said in the weekly note, came from this Catholic priest called Ernesto Cardenal. He established a community in the Solentiname Islands, which are at the southern end of Lake Nicaragua. I feel like a connection there because I spent a few months living in Granada, which is on the shores of Lake Nicaragua, and I visited some of the islands in the lake there. And in that community, there were a lot of illiterate peasants, and so Cardenal developed this empowering and inclusive method of teaching and Bible reading, where he would just read a passage of the Bible, often from the Gospels, a verse or two at a time, and invite everyone present to make whatever comments and observations they wanted. And I guess because people were illiterate, he did it just in little chunks so that people could follow along and make comments and wouldn't forget because they couldn't refer back to something that they were reading. So that's all we're really going to do today, just read through the passage and say what we notice, say our questions and observations, and as we do it sort of a bit at a time, and that will be it. But I will just read the passage through once as a whole, and then we'll go back and I will read it through a bit at a time. It's a bit too long to paste in one bit, so I'm just going to paste it in two bits into the chat. So I'll read it through once and then I'll go back to the beginning and read to small sections and pause, and there'll be space for you to just make whatever observations or comments or noticings, wonderings that you have. So John 13, 1 to 17. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that the hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Abba God. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. So during supper, Jesus, knowing that God had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and had returned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." So just going back to the beginning, as I said, I'll just read little sections and then we'll pause and people can make any comments or observations that they have. If there are no comments or observations that you have, that's fine. We can just move on to the next one. And because there are so many sections, I just want to invite you to make brief comments, because otherwise yeah, lose our way. All right, so let's begin. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that the hour had come to depart from this world and go to Abba God. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end.
Can I comment? I just love the use of the word Abba God in that translation. It's such a gentle, welcoming image of the Father, and it seems to me that Jesus was being comforted by knowing where he was going to this wonderful place back in that relationship. Not that he'd ever not been with it, but, you know, into a more intimate relationship with his Abba Father. Mm. And it was going to give him strength to get through.
Yeah. This is the inclusive translation, and they had a huge dilemma, I think, when it came to representing God, whether they use masculine language or try to use inclusive ones that are perhaps less parental. So it was a real dilemma for them, and they settled on this. I love the motherly father, fatherly mother kind of image of God, but it's a very difficult decision to make in an inclusive translation, how to refer to what is in the traditional translations the Father. The next, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him.
Just notice that lack of personal responsibility, that the devil made me do it.
Yeah. The other thing that I noticed, perhaps for the first time reading this passage this week, was that Jesus washed Judas's feet. You know, he was there. He was one of the disciples. And so if Jesus washed everyone's feet, he washed Judas's feet. He washed his betrayer's feet. And there's something incredibly powerful about that.
I notice there, really, in contrast to that, and as well as that, the sense of disempowerment and the sense of Judas being just a tool. And yet Jesus treated him as a human being worthy of love.
So during supper, Jesus, knowing that God had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself. And he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. And the obvious thing for me there is just the contrast of the beginning of that section to the end, that God's given Jesus everything. God's given Jesus all of this power and authority, given Jesus all things, and what does he choose to do with that? He ties a towel around himself and starts washing his disciples' feet. It's just the most beautiful contrast, unexpected twist in the story.
Yeah, I can look at this and just, you know, think of the, you know, these in the days when people didn't wear shoes, so feet are not like, you know, my feet are fairly clean, but if I'm not wearing shoes, they're like covered in all kinds of mud and mess and gunk. So it wasn't it was kind of a nasty thing to wash people's feet because they'd walked through everything.
Mm. Yeah.
I was appreciating for the first time, I think, the mechanics of the way that it's written, like robes and towels and whatnot, just has a sense of a certain amount of like splish splosh, and just the logistics of the thing has a nice earthiness to it that you kind of miss when you just think of it conceptually.
Yeah. It's very detailed, isn't it? Got up, took off outer robe, tied towel. It's like almost like a set of instructions for how to wash people's feet.
Gospel's written by an accountant. Mm.
I think it speaks to the deliberateness of the action.
Mm. Yeah.
And the importance ascribed to it, that I'm going to do this right, even if it's a job that's normally performed by a lowly servant.
Mm. Yeah, it's almost like it's like a performative thing. Like you guys went, I'm taking off my robe, I'm, you know, putting on the towel. So people, like everyone could see that he's doing this. We'll go, well, why is he taking off the robe? Why is he putting on a towel? What the heck is going on here?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I think it shows what an incredible teacher Jesus is, the kind of pedagogical power of this, yeah, this performance, this, the power of the symbolism. You know, you can talk for hours about service and servant leadership or whatever it might be, and then Jesus in like 1 minute of action plants this symbolic, powerful, metaphorical seed into us that, yeah, has such power. Okay. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered him, you do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand. Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no share in me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only then, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, one who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you. For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean.
I do like Simon Peter's. To me, he's always such an exuberant character. And just like, well, if you're not going to, no, don't wash my feet at all. Don't do anything. Oh, well, if I can't do that, wash all of me. And it's so characteristic of him. You know, he's sort of very one way then the next, whatever Jesus wants. And then he's so flamboyant. But, you know, he's such an amazing character in all of the history that we read. And it's rather sweet. I notice the sweetness about him. It's just like his adoring love for Jesus. And yeah, I think the second bit probably I won't comment on, because I think that goes a bit too deep for me, about not of all of you are clean, and we know that, but maybe that needs your hand in that.
Yeah, it's an intriguing and a kind of disturbing notion that the uncleanness of Judas and that whole question of Judas as tool that we're talking about before, Judas as victim, Judas as betrayer. It's such a complex and difficult character, though. It does relate, I think, to what you're saying, Daph, about that whole thing of role, that we don't often think of the Gospels as this story where people are assigned different roles. And I do wonder whether, you know, you got Peter is assigned to this particular role, and John has his particular role, and then Judas has his particular role. And you do, it's fascinating to think the actual relationship between John and Peter, and, you know, whether John checked with Peter before he gave him this role in the Gospel and said, do you mind if I portray you this way? No, that's fine. After he had washed their feet and put on his robe and returned to the table, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for this is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you.
I find this fascinating in terms of teachable moments, and the teacher in me notices the way he's gone about this, because he actually very deliberately and obviously does the action first, and he says somewhere in there, you know, you don't understand this yet, but wait. Mm. And it's like he's raised their interest and their curiosity, but also given them time for their own personal reflection. And then there's almost a ceremony in putting his robe back on, bringing everyone back to the table, getting their full attention, and then saying, This is what this means.
I guess turning to communion, and this really does flow from what Jeanette was saying, that when you think about the cross, you know, I grew up seeing the cross as a mechanism. It was the means by which God was able to forgive my sins. But it is as much, if not more, powerful as a kind of symbol, as a teaching symbol, just like the washing of the disciples' feet, a symbol of what it means, or what it reveals about what we are to do with power and privilege and position in the kingdom of God, that we use it for others rather than clinging to it or defending it. And I've just been thinking so much about this at the moment with the protests and under COVID. It really does seem like a kind of a battle of narratives at the moment. One narrative is that, you know, my freedoms are being taken away to protect people that I don't even know. And this might not even be real, or it might not be as serious as I'm being told. But the default is, if I'm not 100% sure that about this, then my reaction is to defend my own freedoms and privilege and position. And then the other narrative, which I think is the narrative of feet washing, the narrative of the cross, which is that you get vaccinated, even if there are risks, because when in doubt, do all you can to protect the vulnerable. You know, when in doubt, do all you can to protect those that are unable or not yet able to be vaccinated. And the incredible thing I think about Jesus washing Judas's feet is that I guess it encourages us to see that we are getting vaccinated also for those who are choosing not to be vaccinated because of their arrogance or because they've been misled. I mean, if you see social media as the devil, then all of these people are tools of the devil. They're being the things that are the algorithms are sending them, are leading them to act in ways that are self-interested and really dangerous, and yet we get vaccinated for them as well. So hopefully you have something to eat and drink, and I guess as we eat and drink, I want us to reflect on that, you know, reflect on the narratives that are at play around us with COVID and the current lockdown, and what followers of Jesus who washes the feet of his betrayer, what that calls us to do and how it calls us to act at the moment. So let's eat and drink. I might pray and then we can finish. Done it before 12, that's the main thing. Loving God, thank you for the fact that Jesus is not just a saviour, not just a messiah, but also a teacher. And we thank you for the power of his teaching through his example, through his wisdom. And I pray that we might follow Jesus in the way that we respond to this really difficult time, that we might be people of compassion, people of service, people of kindness and care, and that we might not forget that we might need that kindness ourselves. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.